So I must apologize. The keynotes, I ask Mechila, because I scare people away. The first one I tend to say a lot more than every other one, just because to put the context of the keynotes in the Yom. So I'm not going to speak as much in every other Kina as I do for this one. We're going to be doing, Rabbi Young Grace has the list, the same keynotes I explain every year, and there's a list here, so we'll be doing a couple, and then we'll be doing a bunch of keynotes, and then I'll be stopping. And then anyone else who wants to say anything is absolutely welcome as well to speak. I want to read something I wrote a couple of weeks ago, and then I'm going to explain some stuff that I was researching. Most of what I say that's any good is from the Rav Rabbi Soloveitchik. Anything that's not is probably from me. The Jewish experience has always been one. There's a certain game out. I'm not going to say the name in the show. But the Jewish experience has always been one of augmented reality. How else can we explain the fact that we're all sitting here right now on the floor on Tisha B'Av, fasting and crying over a mikdash that was destroyed almost 2,000 years ago and the first mikdash that was destroyed over 3,000 years ago or something around that? We don't merely commemorate the past, we re-experience the events as they're occurring right now. When we fast and we mourn and we began the 3 weeks, we're actually transforming the reality in front of us. Everyone else is enjoying a wonderful, what seems to be, I don't know, really hot summer day. But we know there's something more to this day, that there's something throughout history. It's a day of tragedy, not just for the past, but really for right now as well. So, and we know just one idea about that. The Gemara says about Pesach, the Chayev Adam Lira, and Rambam, Chayev Adam Lira, that that's what Kilu Yata Atam Yitzrayim, we're obligated to look at ourselves as if we're leaving right now, or maybe Laharot at Atzmo, to see ourselves as if we're leaving right now from Mitzrayim. Similarly, we say, the Gemara in Tanis says, Kol Mis'avo Yushalayim Zocha V'Roa B'Simchasa, She'eno Mis'avo Yushalayim Eino Roa B'Simchasa. It's a double-edged sword. If you are Mis'avel, if you mourn for Yushalayim, then you'll be Zocha to see it in its glory. You'll be Zocha to see the Beis HaMikdash B'Mehera B'Yameinu right now. But if you don't, then you won't. We experience right now. And it really explains everything going on. Because it's very strange this day. On the one hand, it seems to be a Tanit Tzibor, because we fast not just in the morning, but not just in the daytime, but in the nighttime, a full 25-hour fast. Very similar to Yom Kippur. And we have the five Aniyim, just like Yom Kippur. Not just eating and drinking, but also anointing, also relations, also leather shoes, also washing. So it seems to be very similar to Yom Kippur in the Tanit Tzibor. The Gemara in Tanit said that it wasn't just Yom Kippur, but any time they made a public fast for rain, it was the same format. But yet there's no Ne'ilah, like you would have on the Tanit Tzibor. Not only is there no Ne'ilah, but there's no Slichos, like you'd have on any Tanis. And not only no Slichos, but there's no Tiskabo in the Kaddish, where we say, Hashem, please accept our Tfilos. And not only that, but there's no Avinu Malkeinu, and not only that, but there's no Tachnun. It's very strange. So what is it? So the Rebbe of Soloveitchik explains that really it's not a Tanit Tzibor. It's a day of Avelus. It's a day of mourning. And therefore, and really the operative theme is really the opposite. On a normal Tanis, the theme is Tshuva. And Hashem will accept our tshuva. And Hashem is listening to us. Hashem always listens to us. And He listens to our tefillos. And He will hopefully accept when we have heartfelt feelings of tshuva. But we read last night in Eicha, Gam ki azak v'shaveya, even when I cry out to Hashem, sasam tefilasi, He closed off my tefila. Today is not a day of tefila. Certainly not the morning. The keynotes are not tefillah. What are they? It's a day of bechi. It's a day of crying. It's a day of misbehaved. It's a day of mourning. These are really like eulogies. We're giving eulogies this morning. And therefore, the avelus is actually very similar to the Avelus Lo Aleinu would happen for a loved one, except it's inverted. Whereas the Avelus Chadasha for someone who passed on recently, so the most strongest moment is the moment of death, is the moment of Meisel Mutol Lefanav, the Meisel's in front of them, and then followed by the Shiva, the Shloshim, the Yud Beis Chodesh, where gradually it gets less and less and less. So here it's the opposite. So we started off with, like, the Yud Beis Chodesh, the 3 weeks. And then the Shavuot Shechabo, the 9 days, are like the Shloshim. And Tisha B'Av is like the Shiva. And the morning of Tisha B'Av right now, the reason why we're sitting here and we have no tefillah, we're almost like an onen. It's meso muta lefanav, the mace is literally right in front of us. And we're crying for the mace. Gam ki azak vashaveya sasam tefilasi. And why is it sasam tefilasi, he clothed my tefillah? That's the first kina that we say. Shabbasui meni shimuni achrai. The theme of the beginning of the kina is sakoto mishkan miskot tiburai. You spread out a mishkan over the heaven to cover the temple. Normally, what is the essence of the Beis HaMikdash? What are we mourning? Why are we crying? We're not crying for a building. You could build beautiful buildings. You could make even more beautiful buildings. Maybe there are. But we're crying for, as Rabbi Stone said yesterday, that the essence of the Beis HaMikdash is that connection to Hashem, that conduit. The opposite of Satam Tfilasi, that we know there's somewhere that Hashem will always listen to our tfilos and he'll always respond because we have that mikdash. And now it's like there's an iron curtain that is spread up over the heavens and there's no mikdash. Sakoto mishkan miskot divirai. That's what we're mourning for, that we spread a canopy over the heavens. Hashem is concealing himself and it's Hester Panim. So that is really the essence of a lot of these kinos, as we're going to say, that we no longer have this connection to Hashem. The Mikdash is not here. The Meso Muta Lefanav. We're mourning for the fact that we want to have this connection. We want to have this experience with the Shechina once again. And there's one other idea here. It's amazing that even in the first kina, there is a little bit of Tachanunim, there's a little bit of the Chama. Because the second line, it says, Nafla Odeinu B'Tzor Zuchiyah, she has fallen to the depths of there, she remains. Eini Yichichta L'Chazon Ben Brachia. And our eyes look out for the vision of Ben Brachia. What's that talking about? So that's a famous Gemara. It's the Gemara at the end of Makos. A very famous story. If you've never learned the Gemara, you still know the story. And the story goes that there were Rekiva and his chaverim, not his students, but the Rabbanim, all of the great Gedol Yisrael were going to Yerushalayim. Kivin Shigiulayim Tzofim Karu Bigdeyam. When they got to Mount Scopus, they tore Kriya, because as we know, it's the first place, if you're walking from that direction, that you see the Makom HaMikdash. And they saw them, these were people who, most of them were probably alive during the Korban. It was one generation after the Korban. And they saw the Makom HaMikdash, and it was so apparent to them, this loss of the Shechina that was in front of them, this loss of this connection to Hashem. Rav Shual Sheyatzu Mibeis Kodesh HaKadashim, Hizkilu Ein Bochim, they saw a fox going in the Kodesh Kadash, in the place, the Holy of Holies. And they started to cry. Rekiva Misachik, where Rekiva smiled, he laughed. They said, Rabbi Akiva, you're crazy. Are you a lunatic? Why are you laughing? Why are you crying? The place that even any czar, anyone who wasn't even the Kohen Gadol, and even the Kohen Gadol, if he wasn't properly prepared on Yom Kippur, he would die because the Shechina was so profound. And now foxes walk. Animals, it's a home for animals. We shouldn't cry. Amar lahem, l'chein ani misachit. Diksiv, aida li edim ne'amanim et Uriya HaKoy v'Zachariah ben Barachiah. There's actually three different psukim we'll have to connect. Yeshayo, the great Yeshayo, he said, I have two witnesses. And who are my two witnesses? Uriya HaKoyin and Zachariah ben Barachiah. And who are these people? Uriya HaKoyin was a great Navi who lived at the time of the first base of Mikdash. He was a contemporary of Yeshayo. He was a contemporary of Micha. And Zechariah ben Barachiah was a Navi who lived at the time of the Shivat Zion of the second Beis HaMikdash. He was a contemporary of Haggai and Malachi and Ezra and Nehemiah. What do these two people have to do with each other? The Gemara asks, Ma'inyan Urya, Eta Zachaya, Urya Mikdash Rishon, Zachaya Mikdash Sheni, Urya with the first Mikdash Mikdash Zachaya with the second, Ella Tala, Katsun Nuwaso, Shazachaya, Katsun Urya. Rabbi Akiva said, the Nevuot are tied together. What did Urya say? Urya said, Lechem Biblachem Tzion Besada Ticharesh, because of the Tzion's going to be plowed like a field and no one's going to live there. And Zachaya says, many years later, Od Yashu Zechenu Zechenu Perchovot Yerushalayim, they'll once again be old people, old men and old women outside, sitting outside, happy in the streets of Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Kiva says, until this one was fulfilled, I didn't know this one would be fulfilled. And now I see the prophecy of Urya fulfilled. So what's the idea here? What was Urya saying? Urya saying there'd be no life. And what's the greatest sign? When you go out to the mountains and you know you've really gotten to the place where no one is. When you see animals, and not just the animals that run and that, like in West Orange, and then they run away when you get near them. They just make their home there. They're not afraid of people anymore. That was what happened. That the animals made their home in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kedashim. Terrible nevuah. But that nevuah tied to another nevuah. What older people, Rav Soloveitchik explained, they tend not to play outside. Not really. They like to be in the house. It's the kids who play outside. When are they out? When it's so many people in the city that everyone's in the streets. So one tied to the other. That just like the prophecy of Urya came true, that Yerushalayim is just a place for animals. There's no one there. So I know that Yerushalayim b'mehera b'yameinu will be so populated once again that it will be rebuilt. Eini chikta l'chazon ben brechya. The next kina eicha asta b'apecha l'abi b'yadar adomi mamunecha. How could you rush in your wrath to give us, to destroy us in the hands of Edom? V'lo zacharta bris ben absarim. You didn't remember the bris ben absarim, the covenant between the part, the bris of Abram Avinu. The famous bris that really set the stage for all the future brisot, all the future covenants between us and between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Barati Lubchonechu B'chein Bitinu, who met your challenge, and there we say, B'chor Hashem Mehayalanu. And this kina starts to develop a theme, which is the theme that's really very apparent in all of kinos, and really in all yadus, the theme of the bris, of the covenant. The bris avos, the covenant Hashem made with the Avos, with Avram, with Yitzhak, with Yaakov, and with the Knesset Yisrael after Yaakov. And there's actually two different ideas. There's Zechus Avos and there's Bris Avos. There's the merit of the Avos and then there's the covenant with the Avos. And the Rav explains, based on Yechezkel, the Navi Yechezkel said that the Zechus Avos has ended. The covenant with the Avos, the merit that Hashem gives us because of the Avos stops, but the bris avos never ends. And why is this? So he explains, what's the idea of the chus avos? If you have a beautiful friend, someone who's your best friend, and you love this person has done you favors, you feel an obligation to that person. And the person has a son, and the son looks like the father. You feel, and the son is also a good guy. You feel a connection to the son too. You actually sublimate the same idea from the son, from the father to the son. The chus avos. We had Avram, Hashem had a relationship, and Yitzchak was like Avram. The relationship continues. Now, when that person has a son, the relationship's a little less. And if that person has a son, and that son is not looking like the father, I don't mean literally, but in deeds, the person is no longer your friend, the person is your enemy. The dechus avos, that good feeling that one had for the father, and then for the son, and then for the son, if the children don't continue in the path of the father, that can end. Bris is everlasting. You make a covenant and it goes on. So here it says, how could you not remember the bris ben absarim? How could you not remember all the covenant that we had afterwards? How could you not remember? Eicha ga'arta b'garitzaka v'lo zakarta diligot du'udarcha diligot la'alecha, when you made us freed from Mitzrayim and you made the tkvisa saderech, in the fourth paragraph, you abandoned your sanctuary in the hands of Zarim. Once again, the bris, a new bris. We don't just have the bris ben Absarim, but we have the bris Sinai. that you remember the wedding vow, the chitun, like a chasana, that were engraved at Har Chorev, asher chachakta l'chamalecha, which were etched in the stone. We know the Har Sinai was a wedding between Knesset Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the mountain Kafa Aleim Har Chigigis. He held at the mountain on top of us. It was the chuppah and the luchos. The luchos were the kesef kiddushin. They were sapphire, not livnat asapir. They were beautiful stone. They were the kesef kiddushin. They were the ring. And Hashem never divorces us. He might kavyachol seem like he's leaving us, but he's always going to come back. How could you not remember the Brit Sinai? We got the Torah, how beautiful it was. And so we say again and again, and this is the theme we're going to talk about, that you can't, how could you do this? How could you not remember all the bris, all the covenants that you've done? And one other point, and then I'll end on this. We ask, Eicha, 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 how could this be? And one might wonder, how could we say Eicha? How could we tell Hashem? The Melech Mamlei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who is the infinite master of everything. How could we ask him how or why is this happening? Us little puny people, what right do we have to question Hashem? So the only answer is, the reason we have this right is because we're copying the Navi Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, who had a nevuah from Hashem, says, Eicha, 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 Yashma Bedad. Yishayahu said, Eicha, Haisa Lazona. Moshe Rabbeinu even said, Eicha, Esa Levadi. And because of Moshe Rabbeinu, and because of Yishayahu, and because of Yirmiyahu, we can follow in their lead. And even though we are so puny, and Hashem is so infinite, we have a right to ask, Eicha Azka Be'apecha. Next kina, Vayikonin Yirmiyahu Al Yirmiyahu, Yom Yirmiyahu Al Yoshiyahu. And Yirmiyahu, to the kina, talks about Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Yoshiyahu, who was a great king, who died tragically. The question becomes, why should we talk about Yoshiyahu? What difference does that make here? The Gemara says that the Misa of Tzadikim is as great as the Sreifas Beis Elokeinu. The Kula Misasim Shel Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. The burning of the Beis Hamikdash. The question becomes why? The simple and the other, I think, the deep. The simple reason is, it's a tragic, it's the death of a son. It's just like a... But there's something much deeper. It's a cause. We know we talked about already that the reason we're mourning, the reason why the Meisel is Muta Lefanav, the body is right in front of us. The Beis HaMikdash is burning in front of us. We're not mourning for a building. We're mourning for a relationship with Hashem become blocked. It had become almost like it was severed. I won't use that word severed because Hashem can always come. It always comes back. And who helps us more in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Tzaddik Ador, than the great people in each generation? Who their job, as they recognize what makes them great, is not just that they're great for themselves, but that they're great because they help others. And Yoshiyahu was one of the greatest examples of this. He was so great that when he passed away, actually the fourth parak, the kinos were, the eicha worked, that the first two parakim of eicha, Yirmiyahu is asking, eicha, how could this be? The third parak of eicha is like a tzedakah din. It's Yirmiyahu's response. Tzadiku Hashem kipiu marisi, Hashem et the tzadik. The fourth parak of Eicha, which starts with the words that we read last night. Eicha yuam zav, how the gold has become dim, yishana kesem atov, the most fine gold has changed, tishtafekna avnei kodesh v'rosh kol chutzot, the fine hallowed stones are poured out in the streets. The kina is the hesped, the eulogy. We talked about that, really all kinos is a eulogy. The whole morning is one long eulogy. And that the eulogy that was given for Yoshiyahu. So why Yoshiyahu? He was a king. He was a melech, great. And he's from Malchus Beis David. There were many kings who were from Malchus Beis David. And he was a tzaddik. So there weren't so many kings, but there were tzaddikim from Malchus Beis David. Yotam came before him, and Chizkiyahu came before him, and Asa came before him. What made Yoshiyahu unique? So the kina goes back and forth about the story of Yoshiyahu. Eicha Eli Koninu Me'ela Ben Shmona Shana Heichel Lidrosh Melav. When he was 8 years old, he began to seek at Hashem. So you have to realize the context, and this is really the underlying reason why Yoshiyahu was so great and why his death was so equally tragic. Yoshiyahu's grandfather His great-grandfather was Chizkiyahu, who was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful king. The famous Nes that Sanherib's army was encamped around Yerushalayim, the great Sanherib from Asher, who conquered the whole world. He conquered all of Yisrael and exiled them. He conquered all the cities of Yehuda and destroyed them. He had one city left. Yerushalayim was trapped like a canary inside a cage. That's actually what Sanherib wrote himself on the big, big thing he made, bragging about all his victories. He doesn't mention the next line because he didn't want to put that on his bragging, that after the canary was trapped in the cage, the trappers all died. Miraculously overnight, they were destroyed. Chizkiyahu could have even been Mashiach, except he didn't sing Shira after this great miracle. Chizkiyahu had a son, Menashe, and Menashe was as evil as Chizkiyahu was great. And Menashe was a king for a very, very long time, for 55 years. And he brought in all the Avodah Zarah of Asher. His idea was the way, if you can't beat Sancherev, you should join him. So he brought all the Avodah Zarah of Asher into the Beis HaMikdash, got rid of all the Sifrei Torah. And after Menashe, there was a son of Menashe, who was a king, I think, for only a year or two. And his grandson was Yoshiyahu. So Yoshiyahu's becoming king after 55, 56 years of no Torah in Eretz Yisrael. When I mean no Torah, I mean that when they cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash, when Yoshiyahu somehow found Hashem, which is miraculous because there was no way he could find him, they found something inside the Kodesh Kedashim and they said, "What is this?" They hadn't seen one before. It's a scroll. And they opened it. It was a Sefer Torah. They hadn't seen a Sefer Torah in all of Eretz Yisrael because Menashe had gotten rid of them. And they opened the Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah miraculously was opened to the Tochacha, and specifically the pasuk that says that the king and all of his people are going to go into Galus because of their evil. And Yoshiyahu immediately tore Kriya, and he made a massive tshuva movement, even as a young boy. And Yirmiyahu was his right-hand man. Yirmiyahu became a Navi when Yoshiyahu was the 13th year of his reign. So Yoshiyahu was at his height, and Yirmiyahu was his Navi, and they were going to change the world. Gam b'chol ha'malachim asher kamo lidor lo kam kamo mimos ha'victor. No one had been like him, not from just the Malachim, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he brought all the Jews back. He brought all the Sifrei Torah back. What happened? What was the problem? So why aren't we celebrating? He should have brought Mashiach. He should have been Mashiach. He should have brought Mashiach. Davak bo avon leitani ador. The sin of the hypocrite, the leitzanim, the late, the worst possible thing is to be a leitz. A leitz means someone who's a mocker. Because when you mock, you can destroy. The mockers, they mocked Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is so full of so much high hopes. We're going to tear him down. Asher achar adelas kamal lizdor. After the delas, they had the idolatry. So what's the story? The story was that Yoshiyahu had guards, he had officers who were commanded to go throughout all of Yehuda and all of Judea, and they would go to every house and they'd make sure that they did tshuva, and they checked that there were no idols in any house in all of Yehuda, and they would open the door and they'd see no idol, and they'd leave and they'd report back to Yoshiyahu, there are no idols. Everyone's following Hashem. But what they didn't know was that the people were hiding the idols inside the door. So when they opened the door, when they closed the door, the idol was there staring at them. And I think this is actually, if you think about it, it's all of us, not just those people. Because how many of us, that when the people come to see how from we are, we're so from. Outside we're so from. And then when we close the door, and we're b'chedri chadarim in our home, are we keeping the same values that we show to the world in the chedri chadarim? Asher achar adelas kamalis door. So what happened to Yoshiyahu? So Tovim Reim Bita Zachu Amar Kinam Dasla Akim Bita Amrata Ba'ara Shelo Yakim. They opened up the Sefer Torah to Ara Shelo Yakim, as I talked about before. Tovim Reim Nikro Kishalku Malach Maliv Alach Ayom L'Salaf. So what happened? So the story goes that Paro Necho, who was the Paro at that time, he wanted to fight a war against Ashur, to finally get rid of Ashur once and for. Actually, Ashur had fallen, and he wanted to fight a war really against Bavel, about Nebuchadnezzar, and then Nebuchadnezzar. The famous battle of Carchemish, you could look it up, it's one of the most famous battles of that entire time. And so Paro was going north to fight the battle of Carchemish, and they would decide who would be the leader of the Middle East once and for all, actually would have been in the best interest of the Jews that Paro had won, because then there would be no Nebuchadnezzar who would later destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Paro tells Yoshiel, I just need to get through Eretz Yisrael, because the only highway to get from here to Carchemish is going right through Israel. This is our mazel that Hashem puts us in a place in the world that every conqueror needs to go right through us. That's what Hashem does for us. And so he says, I don't want to fight you. I love you. I have nothing to do with you. We're Reim. We're Tovim. We're friends. I just want my army to get through you, because they can go through you. They can get up to Carchemish. They can fight against Bavel. It'll be, do you a favor, I'll destroy Bavel. There won't be a Bavel. You won't have to worry about them. But Yoshiel said, that says in the brachos, that says that v'nasati shalom ba'aretz v'cherev lo tavor ba'aretzichem. If you follow ibechokotai teilechu, you follow Hashem mitzvos, I'll make peace in the world, and there won't be a sword. And Yoshiel was a lovedin. He was a talmid chacham. He said, it already said, I'll make peace. So cherev lo tavor ba'aretzichem cannot mean there'll be peace, because it already said there'll be peace. So what does it mean there won't be a sword? Afilu charvo shel shalom. There won't be any foreign swords, even a sword of peace, if we follow our chukim. And Yoshiel said, I know my people, I love my people. And they've done tshuva. I led them in the tshuva movement. I trust my people. If someone is a father and he loves his children, if someone's a rebbe, he loves his talmidim, and he only sees the good, I see my wonderful people. Cherev lo tavor ba'atzechem. I have an obligation from the Torah to not allow Paro necho to go through Eretz Yisrael, even a sword of peace. And Yoshiel tried to convince him otherwise. Yoshiel, the Navi said, you love your people, but you don't know them so well. I know the fact that there really are some who aren't as good as you think they are. And Yoshiel didn't listen to the Navi, but think about it. Why didn't he listen to the Navi? Because he loved us too much. That was his only avera, that he loved the Knesset Yisrael so much that he defied Yoshiel. And so Paro went through, and Paro fought a war because he needed to get through. And what did it say? Odenu otem begevyo nochatim chetach achet morim lochatim. Arrow after arrow went into Yoshiel. This was Yoshiel at the height of his kingdom. He was, I believe, he was still in his 30s. Maybe he was 40 years old. He could have been king for how many more years? And the Beis HaMikdash would have existed. Kalum sasasu achorav ezo motza piu v'ad mitzoy nefesh ma'asav ifiu. His mouth in his last gasp, he realized, Yoshiel, what he had done wrong. He should have listened to the Navi. He didn't complain. He didn't say, my people let me down, because he knew that really it was them. All he said was, Tzadik hu Hashem ki mirisu piyu. Hashem is the tzadik, because I have rebelled against him. And Yoshiel, v'yikonim alav kol eicha yuam zav, and that was the kina that Yirmiyahu wrote, how has the gold been dulled? B'moetam b'mikra echad kot Megiddo lishtot, this was in Megiddo, King Achav had been destroyed, and this was in Megiddo that he had been destroyed. B'moet shnat tashmita kaga hakel le'asos, tala etzim ushtayim me'eros shatot ki saptu lo eicha be'etzim ushtayim otziot. And what happened? Because Yoshiel was killed, and he was such a great tzaddik, and was kula misatzim shel tzaddikim kisreifas beit elokeinu, and Yirmiyahu wrote a kina for him, two psukim. So he said that the Beis HaMikdash will last for 22 more years. And the Beis HaMikdash lasted for 22 more years after Yoshiel's death. But think about the fact, what would have happened? There are many in Jewish history. What would have happened if Yoshiel had listened to Yirmiyahu and he had remained king? The Beis HaMikdash maybe wouldn't have stood for 22 more years, maybe for 40 or more years, maybe forever. If Yoshiel would have been able to guide his sons, maybe when they became king, they would have been tzaddikim. And this is the tragedy of what could have been that we describe here by Yechonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiel.
Eicha, Veichon and Yemiyo, Al Yoshio.
Talk about the second, the Chorban by Hasheni, the second base of Mikdash. Here from the Gemaras in Gittin that we describes Titus, the Tsar. Titus was the evil general, getting the Chorban, you know, his great victory in the base of Mikdash. He considered it to be his crowning glory. And this Chilo Hashem, as we describe, we're sad for a building, but we're sad for a relationship. Titus did was he recognized the base of Mikdash represented. He waged a war on. And in his mind, because Hashem left Kaviyachol, Hashem was doing Hester Panim, he won. Zechor Asher Asa Sar Bifnim, Shalav Charbo Ubal Ufnai Bifnim. He took out his sword, he went to the Kodesh Kedashim. Nakos Enebiyez Gitime Lechem Apanim. First he was Metame, the Lechem Apanim, the showbread. Vigide Parochet Baal Shte Panim. And then he broke the Parochas. Next thing, his sword, when he left the house, was full of dam. Hashem made a miracle. Pierced the parochas, and he pierced the beautiful curtain separating the Kodesh Kedashim from the Kodesh. He got blood on his sword. He said, I've killed Hashem. We know that when Nadav Avihu died tragically, Hashem was making a tremendous kiddush Hashem with those who were close, because people could see the Shechina, that the Shechina envelopes anyone who goes into the Kodesh Kedashim, even someone with so holy an idea as Nadav Avihu. And this man came and he took a zona into the Kodesh Kedashim, and a fire doesn't burn him up. Nashim kisharu kiba arit bekarka abayat nalach. Arit, woman stared at the approaching tyrant. He was putting his boots on the floor, destroying the floor of the base of Mikdash with his army boots. Shava sotam v'yavo admon ganit v'kadneter. Now Rome is here. V'yisave v'choma v'yaves hamon nafla evra alnit. They circled the walls. They frightened the masses. Al Pesach Harabayis Heichal Lavo. He went to the Pesach Harabayis. Biadabar Rashi Tavtsarav Lachrivo. He told his four big generals of his army, each of you are going to destroy one of the walls of the Temple Mount of Harabayis. Asad Maravi Lezecher Hisrid Bo Vesag Achar Kaslina Velo Ravrivo. And then he had an idea, and this is where he was really, Baruch Hashem, he was wrong. We want to make a memory of the beautiful temple that I've destroyed in his gaiva. I want to leave one wall. So they left the Kosel Maravi. But we know, why did they leave the Kosel? Because the Kosel and the Maariv was the closest to the Kodesh Kedashim. Kodesh Kedashim was in the west of the Har Habayis. The western wall was right near there. And Hashem was sending us a message that even though the Shechina Kaviyachol was hiding, and we couldn't find it on the Har Habayis, it would always be manifest in the Kosel. Hashem would never totally leave us. He left the wall at the remembrance of the greatness of Rome, but till this day we go to the Kosel to feel an inkling of the Shechina, of the beautiful presence of Hashem in the Beis Hashem. But it ends, his kina, on a sad note with another story. Lama Rakshu Goyim V'loshat El Amincha Pinos. Why do the nations storm and we don't look at the Karav Mincha? V'shilchum l'eretz Utz b'shlosh sefinos. They sent away to the far away land of Utz three ships. This is going to be the first of examples we're going to have later, similar examples. Three ships of Jewish boys and girls were sent to the land of Utz, which is some far away part of Rome. And where were they going to be used there? They're going to become slaves. And if they were beautiful young boys and girls, they knew they wouldn't just be slaves, but they would be brought to do horrible acts of zinus. And so they said, what should we do? We have no choice. We're being led on these ships. There's nothing we can do. We can't fight our captors. They have too many weapons. We can't overtake them. Heshivanu shivu kivon nidivche yam. They pleaded, bring us back, and they went into the sea. V'shitvu atum yakadim povayam. They joined together, they cast themselves in the sea. This is a story that we know has been repeated itself many times in history, in the time later on in the Chorban Bayis, in the time of the Crusades, into the time of the modern times, into the Holocaust. They chose death. They chose to take their own lives and flung themselves into the sea so they wouldn't be forced into Avodah Zarah and Gila Arayos. Not only that, Shir v'tishbachu shoru kal yam ki alacha oragna mitzvot yam. They sang Shira when they went into the sea. Just like we sing Shira at the Yam Suf, because they were singing Shira that they could die as a Jew and not go to the horrible Nisayon, the test, and that they were winning the test and they were showing a Kiddush Hashem. Kisa almost bow ad nafsham kozot basnu veloshe kagdo chilu mirishon. All this has come to us. We have not forgotten you. Tikvasam natnu lamashi mibasham. They had a tikva because it says in the Navi that they will even come back from Bashan. So they said, we're going to fling ourselves into the sea and we're going to die. But v'yimot haMashiach, that there be tchias amesim even for people who don't even have graves. Even for people who are flung into the sea. Ubasko nishma ura lamatishon. And the Basko said, yes, awaken. Why do you sleep? Even these beautiful Jewish girls and boys who committed the ultimate sacrifice, they too will come back. Zechor asher asa.
The challenge of everything, to feel the Chorban, to feel actual Chorban Abayas, as of years ago we never experienced. What we understand is that the Gemara tells us that Kol HaRa'is, everything the negative that happened, that's Merachek, us away from the Rebbe Shalom, from the Chorban Abayas. Leo heard the woman crying, death of a child, and he cried with her over the Chorban Abayas. It's just another step, and it's all based on the Richuk, on the distance that happened when we lost this relationship. Each year is a new Avengus. Each year is a new Hespit, as was said. Each year is a new trying to understand what it is, but it's a year further. It's a year more of Hespit. Particular Kina, while reading the words of what the Russia did, what the Rishayim did, what they did to the bias, you want to be able to relate to the Churban HaBayis, to relate to the Avemus, to the mourning on Tisha B'Av, how it relates to us. You just need to look around at what has happened in the world in the last that we have what to be Mesabala. What kind of world do we live in? We live in a world where things that 10 years ago things would have been considered to be absurd, not just absurd, but degrading, defiling, the whole kavod ha'adam, the whole sense of self-respect that people have is destroyed. 10 years ago, if a person pronounced that they acted in a certain way or did certain things, they would be ostracized. Now we're asked in the past year to worship them. 50 people get killed, and all of a sudden, what's a te'eva becomes in the world now something for us to we're asked to praise it, we're asked to honor it, we're asked to look at it as some type of positive. It's a good thing. Hashchosa, right? The destruction of a human being on a moral level. Right? What an adam is supposed to be. Each year it gets worse and worse. This past year again, what we have seen in the past year, what the world has become, what becomes normal now, and what we're expected to live amongst, right? You're expected to be a yid with Torah values, with the morality of the Torah, and the world, and you we have seen it in the last 6 months. It's striking. Every single letter that gets added from the alphabet, right, is another change in the world, where the entire world, what we have to live amongst, the world that we find ourselves in, moves further away, moves away from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and pushes us more towards Hashkasa. And how are we supposed to live with that? How are we supposed to live amongst that? Every single day that you wake up and you go into the world, it is a more challenging place than it was before, the day before. The Torah and mitzvahs, what you believe in, the way that you're supposed to live, is assaulted even more. The morals of society, right? What the world is saying has become even further away from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the expectation, it's pressure. The pressure of the world to not be a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. The pressure of the world to be immoral. The pressure of the world to somehow accept what's mamish immoral. connected Torah, completely connected Torah, to accept that as normal. Every single day, it becomes more and more normal. Every single day, the pressure becomes greater. Every single day, the assault is greater and greater on our ability to maintain our Yiras Shamayim, because we live in the midst of a ship that is sinking deeper and deeper by the minute. That a Rasha can come into the Beis HaMikdash and stick a sword through the Parechas is unbelievable. That it could be Baal HaZeina in the Kayish Kadashim is unbelievable. But it's just as unbelievable that the world can expect us to accept Toeva and to rejoice and to celebrate it, and to put us in a position where if we say anything that we disagree with it and say it's immoral, we're the Rishayim. The Russia didn't die from what he did in the Hechel, and the Menafit, right? The Znus and the Toeva and the Rechuk, all of that is celebrated. That's what's winning the game. That's what's winning the battle. And that's what becomes normal. When you read this Kinnah, if you want to relate to Tisha B'Av, and you want to relate to the Evangelists, it's not as much. It's as much what happened then, where Ra, where evil, where immorality came, did what it did, and was celebrated. It's just as much that today. And even more so. And the more that we go, every year we go further, the worse it becomes. If you want to be Misabel, that's what in this kingdom, to be Misabel, to think about not just what happened 2,000 years ago, but what it's like every day when you read the paper. And what it's like every day when you go out there and people look at you and think that you are crazy, and the pressure is on to give up and to agree. To agree that there's something right, something normal to all of this evil. To all of this
realm.
Subscribe
here. We talked a lot about the bris, and we talk about that a lot over and over again. The promise will do good to us, and we'd be different. Why have these horrible people done the chilul Hashem? There's so much chilul Hashem in the world, then and today, continuously, of all the horrible things. Lo shafakta lanza amachi, not doing his anger to us. So why are you doing this? Why you made so many promises? Seems kaviyachol like you're not keeping them. Tagi dalta ramamta banim lehenik. You raised us. Kashe yisa omen at the yonik, like Moshe Rabbein described, like a nursemaid nursing the baby. Velama dodanim sichem lashanik, va'arye b'nei gorosa b'chanik. But now it's like we're suffocating for thirst. Atai nakta devash mitzela vatoti nozli mitzela. She made honey come from rocks. She made the water come from, you know, the famous Nisim in the Midbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu brought the water from the rock two different times. The Be'er Miriam that went throughout the Midbar. V'lama shoteim nishmatu bidei tzela v'olim nusu el tzela. Now their judges slip upon rocks, their babes are smashed. You know this from that time, and unfortunately in the Holocaust, the Goyim Yimach Shemam, they would smash the babies. Somehow they'd get joy out of killing babies. And we ask over and over again, why? How could this happen? You made so many promises. And it seems like, but then at the end, we do Tzidik Adin, just like in Eicha, the first two parakim are Eicha, 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 and the third parak of Eicha, of the Eicha, is the Tzidik Adin, is the acceptance of Hashem's, that He is giving judgment. We say at the end, Ata Tzadik al kol haba, you Hashem are right, you're the Tzadik, you're the one in the right. Lecha Hashem asdaka v'nistika v'chiba, you are the one who is the right, who loves us. V'lama nahinu v'lanu adiba. Why do we complain? It's from us. Kikozot basna b'chova. We talk about the world and how it's going into such a horrible place, but somehow, not the fault of the world. They're doing this horrible stuff. They're saying these horrible things, that they're allowing things that were never allowed. The fault is in us, that we are not bringing back every generation that doesn't build the base of Mikdash, or really, I don't think it's a difference. It is that we caused of the base of Mikdash. Lama nehinu v'lanu abiva ki kozos basnu. Vata amarta itevi tivima. Viflinu anivama. It's Isaiah Levanon. The cedars of Lebanon. Who are our cedars? Who are our strong stalwarts? Obviously our gedolim. Adir, Torah, masters of Torah. Balei Tritim in Mishnah Gemara, the ones who are the shield bearers in the Mishnah Gemara, they fight the Mochamto Shel Torah, the war of Torah. This Kina, as we know, we said before, Shkula Misatum Shel Sadikim Kisrefas Beis Alokeinu, the Misa of our great ones, they died tragically. It's an equal loss to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, to the Chorban. It is a Chorban. So this describes the 10 Asara Ruge Malchus, who were tragically killed Al Kiddush Hashem by the Romans in two generations. It's also, we talk about it on Yom Kippur as well. And it describes in the beginning, Zot Bezachri Yado Gogoro Mirishon Lecher Berura. So they originally, there were going to be two who were going to die. There was Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel was the Nasi. He represented the Malchus, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who was the Kahuna. And they cast lots who should die first. They knew that they were going to be killed. In Fogora, Rav Shimon Pasha Tavaro Bacha Kinigzera Gezera. They turned to Rav Shimon, the Rav Shimon Har Chazar Egmon Lahargo Benefit Nitzura. Mizeder Er Aaron Chalba Bacha Libkota Benak Vira. Nato et Rosha Benasana Bawa Kavosa Menora Torah. Sam Eina Val Eina Bufiva Fiba Ava Gemura. They placed their eyes together. Anav Amar Pah Miskaber B'Torah, this Pah that was Miskaber in Torah, Pisom Niknasa Olav Misa Meshuna V'Chamura. He's going to have such a horrible Misa. Rabbi Shmuel, it described, was very beautiful, and the daughter of the Caesar, Yamak Shmuel, didn't want him to die. They came up with an evil compromise. They said they're going to take off his skin and they'll stuff him. And you'll be able to look at him every day. So they flayed off his skin alive, so that this daughter can have her demented, horrible monument. Siva lahapshit et rosho amelach besara skhira. They ordered to flay his skin with a sharpened razor. Kiyam ba'oro amru lenapshik sichiv na'avora. He was fulfilled with the skin, the saying, get down and walk. Rasha aposheit esi giyalim kom tefillin. When they got to the place of tefillin, Rabbi Shmuel wore tefillin all day. He was a tzaddik. He didn't just wear tefillin chakras. He wore tefillin every waking moment of the daytime. When he could, when they got up to the makam of the tefillin, Shima sa'akuni dazeya ola ve'eret tzar, the scream was so great that the world shook. It was like an earthquake. It describes the death of others as well. We know Rabbi Akiva, me'achar ve'viot Rabbi Akiva, Oker Harim v'tochon adu b'zu b'svar. Rabbi Akiva was known as the Oker Harim, the great one who could do svaros, who could do analysis, who could do lumdus, greater than everyone else, who mamish put the mountains together against each other, and they combed his flesh out with alive when he was in a big theater. And Rabbi Akiva, we know, laughed, and the students said, why are you laughing? He said, Rabbi Akiva always laughed. He said, because my whole life I say, v'ahavtat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, you love Hashem with all your heart, with all your money, b'chol nafshecha, with all your life, filu ata notu at nafshecha, even if they'll take your life. And I said, when am I ever going to be able to fulfill this mitzvah? And now I'm getting the chance. At his moment of death, all he could think of was being mamlich Hashem, loving Hashem. And at the Natza Yashba, he said, Hashem Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Natza Yatra Be'echad, Ubasko Amra, Rabbi Akiva, Ashrecha, Gufecha, Tahor Bechol Minei Tahara. Then we talk about the others, Hananya ben Atradion, who always learned with the Sefer Torah, so they wrapped him up in the Torah, and the Torah burned, and they said, what are you seeing? And he says, I see the words of Hashem going up to the Shemayim. And Rabbi Chanina ben Chakinai, Rabbi Chutzpit Targumim, all these great people who died in horrible deaths. But we say at the end that Hashem should yimlok tzedek, v'shamu yimei avelik la'oro nisa v'neilak, that these tzaddikim who died should be a chapara for all of us. When it came time for his children, they were sold into slavery. It describes how one day, these two sons, a son and a daughter of Yishmael, they were enslaved to two masters in Rome who were next door neighbors. V'yisapru zeh lazeh inyonim zeh amar mishivya tzionim shavisi shivcha levush hashanim kalvana v'gziv v'klater panim. I have such a beautiful Jewish girl I got. What a deal. V'bestow her kikita v'imima. She's beautiful, like, I don't know what these are, maybe the stars, but I mourn from year to year for this. And then the other one, the next door neighbor said, oh, my boy that I got slave is doubly handsome. Hey, nani ba mishvi Yerushalayim shavisi eved yifei enayim kishemesh. Such a handsome boy, he's like the sun, like the moon in his fullness. They say, we'll make a deal. We'll put them together. We'll make a shidduch. They'll have children. Their children will be beautiful like the stars. The most beautiful slaves ever. So they agree. They make a deal. That night they put them in a room. It's all dark. And the masters are outside waiting. They're so excited. And this beautiful Jewish girl and boy. I am a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. I can't marry a shivka, a slave, a lowly slave. Who knows what type of horrible, disgusting, immoral person this is. I'm a daughter of Yocheved. I'm going to marry a slave boy. And they cry in their corners. They don't get together, obviously. And they cry all night. Or Boker Zed, Zeke Hikiro. The morning comes and they can see. And they embrace together. They die. This Gedola Yisrael, like Aaron died b'neshima with a kiss of it. Moshe Rabbeinu died b'neshima. Their nefesh goes, their last breath b'neshima. This was the king of Yirmiyahu. And a son and a daughter. We mourn every day, every year we tell the story. The beautiful son and daughter who were tragically killed. Navi Chatazi Yashmima. We of course knows lie. Written by a spire. The way it worked was against the infidel. They were going to go to the Holy Land back from them. And on the way they realized, sent the infidel. Infidels in our backyard. The Jews, too. So on the way, they went from Germany. See, this all happened during the time, which is a lot of the reason why in a lot of Ashkenazi, the first half, from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until see the city. And it describes how in each city, the Jews were faced with the ultimate test. I talked about this earlier, that they were given the test, should you convert or should you be Jews and die? And not only that, but they chose in this example, a lot of the Ashkenazi community, that they chose to, they knew they were coming and they thought we were going to not be able to withstand the torture. Actually chose, as a city, only time we have this in history, that as an entire city, to commit suicide so that they won't be forced to bow down to the Galach, to become something, to do a Avodah Zarah. The first time ever that this happened, and the whole city, after city, it describes the specific communities that were affected. Magens and the other, and later on, the others as well. The question is, why are we talking about this on Tisha B'Av? I already mentioned that this happened during the time of Sfiras HaOmer, and actually a lot of the reason for the stronger Minhagei Avelus and Ashkenazi communities might stem from this. So why are we having Avelus now on this? And so he answers, Shimuna alavavcha mispeid marla kashran. Take to heart and compose a eulogy. Kishagula harigasam lis ava lis afra kisrefas beis elokeinu ha'olam habira. What we've mentioned a lot of times, that the murder of these great tzaddikim, of these great kedoshim, is equal to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Gula misasam shal tzaddikim kisrefas beis elokeinu. I've said that many, many times. You're not allowed to add a day. A moed, a time, a set time. Tachas kein hayom livyasi orav espadav elila v'emcha b'nefesh mar. This day Tisha B'Av is the day that we should remember it. Vanchati kavta miboker ad erev, and we're going to have a hard heart from the morning till the night. Abet Yisrael, v'alam Hashem, ki naflu b'cherem, on the house of Israel that fell to the sword. So we learn a tremendous lesson from this. It's a lesson that the reason why later on we're going to say some kinos that were composed in this past generation about the Holocaust. That this is the day for all eternity to mourn the horrible suffering that has happened. There's a famous, I believe it's true, I think there might even be on a video, that Menachem Begin in the 1970s was interviewed. And he said that really the day for the Holocaust Remembrance Day, the real Holocaust Remembrance, was the day we remember all these horrible tragedies. As we're doing here as well, in this case, the horrible tragedy of these communities that all died from Cologne, from Frankfurt, and from Worms, and from Mainz during the Crusades. Mi Yitain Roshi Yerushalayim. There was another. I have a fire when I mentioned Rav Lamanas Yerushalayim Adyer Shemoshe Shilo Yinash Raim. We had Ajashe, we had Yirmiyah, but now Nehi Nehima. But now we have Kim Yerushalayim Tovu Olim Al Zeva Tovu Olim La'arba Degalim. We had the Miyamah Tovu Olach Yaakov, beautiful tent of Yaakov. We had the Degalim to Israel with the flags of the Kedri Traim Oli Yishma'elim Makunat Arelim. But then we have the tent thirsty, and we were hungry, and they gave us salty, gave us flasks that we thought had water in it. Drink the water, it was empty. And then it ends at the very end, and it goes back and forth. Torah Shulchan the Menorah B'Kaluk Torah B'Seitim Yitzrayim. We had the Shulchan, we had the Menorah, we had the Ketores, we had everything. We left Yitzrayim. We left Yitzrayim. We did the, we built the Mishkan. Elu B'Soevo Pesu Maseva. There were all these idols when we left Yerushalayim. That's why we were born to Golus. Torah to Udo Klei Kemda. We had the Torah and the messages of the beautiful. What the most Machmadim Mipadim Izav Rav. We're talking about the Torah that the most. We left Mitzrayim, and then we end with a little bit of a happy note at the end. Tzasum v'simcha v'nasiyago v'nanacha. We want happiness and joy. Time will be the sorrow and the sighing. Bishuvi Yerushalayim. When we go back, b'mherah b'yameinu. Eish tu kad v'kirbi v'alos alibi. With Daron, the base of Midgash. Blood. Kito adama adbo cherib monai v'lo shakat adei hukam v'ulai v'yarib v'bat yudat aniyah v'aniyah. He saw that there was blood that was bowling over the base of Midgash. And whatever he did, the blood wasn't silenced. What was this blood? It was from Zechariah, not Zechariah that we talked about earlier, but there was an earlier Zechariah. Zechariah, the Kohen, who was the son of Yehoyada, was the adopted brother of Yoash. Yoash was adopted by Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, and he became the king. He descended Malchus Yudah to survive, became the king, and as long as Yehoyada, Kohen Gadol, was alive, Yoash was really great. When Yehoyada died, he was more than great, almost like an idol. He had literally been raised in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kedashim. And so then Zechariah, his adopted brother, was a Navi, came and tried to get Yoash to turn his ways, and Yoash had Zechariah killed in the Beis HaMikdash, and the blood continued to boil for hundreds of years. So the Daron comes in, he sees the blood. He says, what should I do? And they said, it's the blood of animals. And so he slaughtered animals. He said, that doesn't look like this blood. It's not the blood of animals. And the blood wouldn't silence. So he started to kill people. Daka Yeshishin Lameot Abachur Nirvah Biyor the Teva Kohani Hashem Tzavot. He stabbed hundreds men by the hundreds, youth by the tens of thousands. He massacred Kohanim. The blood didn't stop. The blood didn't stop. Hosi b'larav nashim yoke shadayim. He killed women nursing with their children. The blood didn't stop. And finally he goes, v'yomar ain dai l'dam b'vnot Yerushalayim. Is there not enough blood? Hachala ata osa asheri tashivya v'ad shakadam. Finally the blood stopped. What was this? This was the famous quote. Im taregna b'mikdash kohen v'navi. Because they killed in the Beit HaMikdash the kohen who was also the navi, Zechariah. And that's why his blood boiled from that crime hundreds of years and caused this horrible massacre at the hands of the Nuzdara. Yom Akvi. Described, it was written by he's such a lover of Tzion, tied together. Shalom HaSirayich, you inquire to Dorei Sheshalom Ekve and Yetzar Dorayich. And the story, just I'll end with, Rabbi Yehuda Levi is, that Rabbi Yehuda Levi himself was living very comfortably in Spain at a time when the Jews were treated well and he was very respected. But he had a love for Tzion, so he decided he was going to make Aliyah. And he traveled. It was very hard back then. You travel by boat, you travel by land. The last word we have a letter from him from Damascus on his way. He all got all the way to Syria on his way to Zion. And the legend is that he got to Eretz Yisrael and he got to the Koso of Marabi, which we described before, the last remnant of the... He kneeled down at the Koso and then in Arab Zion, and we're going to have a whole group of other Zion talking about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Zion! Hello, Tishali!